Welcome to the Memoirs of Her. This is your host, Indira Mendez, once again on the Memoirs of Her. H standing for humble, E standing for exquisite, R standing for resilience. Please be advised that this is a podcasting session coming to you with an adventurous and humorous life journey of a mysterious woman, including her accounts in life. So tonight's topic is going to be about what are synchronic and diachronic habits, right? So, just getting a little bit of educational, you guys. but I just wanted to talk about that because I know about 2 weeks ago I talked about habits. And I talked about how we can form, you know, good and bad habits and understanding the dynamics of it and things of that sort. And now I'm just getting a little bit deeper into, you know, the different types of habits that we form throughout life. So I wanted to basically get down to the psychological part of it, subconscious aspect of it, and see why, you know, we form habits the way that we do. Because I know I have good and bad habits, but at the end of the day, you know, we always have that radar as far as, you know, we determine how far we're going to go in whatever it is that we're doing, or, you know, when we're going to stop something or start doing something that's either conducive or non-conducive to our growth. You know, however way we perceive, you know, the thought and how it actually generates into a habit over time. As I talked about smoking being one of those aspects of a person just, you know, being a habitual chain smoker. And it all started from one little thought, one perception, one, action, and it just become a habit over time, where sometimes it may be difficult to break. I won't say hard or whatever the case might be. I would just say difficult or challenging to break over time, because it becomes a part of that person's genetic makeup as far as what you're doing and how you perceive, you know, the thought, how it's beneficial to you, how productive you are in life and things of that sort, you know? So I know that sometimes I may have a tendency of doing things, and sometimes I just do it in a backwards formation, you know? It has a lot to do with how I process, you know, my thoughts. And I know a lot of us, are victim of that, where we have a way of backwards way of thinking and doing things in life. But at the end of the day, it just takes a practice of doing a forward way of thinking step by step, even though it may be a little strenuous, or not as attractive. But once you get into the habit of doing things in a certain order or process, then it makes life so much easier. It really do. And I think, not to go off tangents, but I think that the reason why I may fall victim of doing things from a backwards way of thinking and, you know, things of that sort, is because I always want to know the outcome before I actually go through the process. So it's like trying to jump the gun before actually going, you know, step by step through the process. And I guess that's why I always fall victim of doing things backwards, you know, from the completing part to the actual, you know, beginning or whatever the case might be. But, you know, in most cases, sometimes that may work for other people. In some cases, it just don't, you know. So it just takes that that moment to actually sit to yourself and say, you know what, you know, if I've been doing a certain behavior or action or, you know, reaction or whatever, let me just change this, or let me change my mind, my perception on this, and then take action towards it the right way, you know. So I wanted to talk about Once again, tonight's topic is, what are synchronic and diachronic habits? So what are synchronic habits? Synchronic represents an activity or event that has taken place in past tense, usually at a time in a person's life. Synchronic habits also involve certain stimuli, also known as stimulus influences, or invoke a certain action or perception of thought on behalf of the person. The formation of the action and the perceived thought can become a habit if it is conducive to the person's productivity or benefit in life. So I'll give you a prime example. Once again, as I said earlier, a person who's a chain smoker, it started off from one thing. You know, maybe that person just wanted to relax, or maybe what triggered them or invoked them was stress, and they just wanted to alleviate the stress, so they just chose to smoke, you know, marijuana, cigarettes, whatever the case might be, you know. And they did it because they wanted that calmness. They wanted to probably get their mind off something, just that relaxing calm, so it was beneficial to them. So that's a prime example of what I mean as far as a person forming a habit over time. And then, like I said, it has a lot to do with synchronic, but synchronicities, it has a lot to do with triggering the person, and what's causing them to react in that certain manner. Okay, synchronic habits are the development of a person throughout life evolution. So a lot of times people, if they have habits, it's usually in a synchronic manner. Like certain synchronicities can form a person's or trigger a person's habit. Like, for example, if you are hungry and you in the house and someone's cooking food and you just, you know, got that hunger sensation, you know, it's called something specifically, but you know that out of habit you might want to eat, and sometimes people might eat junk food as a result of being triggered because of that stimuli, you know, of smelling the food and, you know, being hungry, you know, things of that sort. So sometimes, you know, that can be an unconscious effort when a person just wants to eat, just to eat out of habit because of being hungry, which is the stimuli, and the synchronicity of what's going on in their environment. Someone's cooking and the smell is invoking them to want to eat. So as a result of reacting, they eat junk food or eat anything in particular because of the stimuli and synchronicities out of habit, you know? So yeah. So now that I talked about synchronic habits, I want to talk about what are diachronic habits, okay? So diachronic represents an activity or event that is in present tense, involving the psychological aspect of a person's mindset on a continuous base. So diachronic habits involves the perception and thoughts generated from a person's way of thinking and way of life on a daily base. So whatever routine or ritualistic lifestyle formed by the person is an expectation and a mental order by design on behalf of the person's habitual behavior over time. Okay, and this is on a consistent base. And then diachronic habits are the development of a person's consistency with their own personal identity throughout life. Okay, it's what makes them who they are, you know, character-wise, you know, reputation-wise, you know, these are diachronic habits that happen on, you know, a daily basis. It makes them who they are once again. So when we talk about synchronic habits and diachronic habits on a personal level, right? It has a lot to do with the personhood and personal identity of a person. So personhood will deal with the synchronic habits of a person. Personal identity will be about the diachronic habits of a person on a day-to-day base, if that makes sense, you know? So personhood, okay? Personhood is the state of mind of an individual person characterized by the condition of their thoughts and behavior over time throughout life, as I've been saying. Yes, I'm going to keep saying it throughout the show. For example, It's a person's reality and lifestyle condition to a role or responsibility in life in which they are becoming in full capacity as they learn and grow to be who they are. For instance, a parent or individual person in their sexuality and nature as a person. Okay, so this has a lot to do with the synchronic habits of a person. So just keep that in mind. Now, I wanted to talk about the characteristics of a personhood consisting of the rationality of the person, their consciousness, the attitudes or social norms of society, influences, capacity for a give and take dynamic, which has a lot to do with the person's ability to give reciprocity in their relationships, capability of verbal communication and self-consciousness. Is a part of a person's characteristics pertaining to their personification and personhood in particular. Now, personal identity, which has a lot to do with their diachronic habits, personal identity is the sense of self existing, experiencing, and absorbing human encounters and lessons throughout life, you know? Yeah. For example, a person's culture or religious belief are indicators of a personal identity. You know, a person's personal identity, excuse me, is developed and practiced on behalf of an individual or groups of people. Okay, so the characteristics of personal identity consist of a person's race, ethnicity, gender, age, sexual orientation, physical attributes, personality, political affiliations, and religious beliefs over time and professional identities. So this is the characteristics of a person's personal identity and diachronic habits that people form over time in those characteristics. So have a way or whatever way these persons identify with their race, their ethnicity, the gender, age, you know, the sexual orientation, physical attributes, you know, things of all that sort has a lot to do with how people form habits over time, what they find conducive to their way of life, their way of thinking. And I feel that, you know, when you merge the two, synchronic habits and diachronic habits, synchronic habits has a lot to do with the upbringing of a person over time, because it says that it's at a time, a place in time of how, you know, whatever a person experienced, whatever they went through, how they was raised through their parents, whatever the case might be, that's in past tense. But in present tense, it would be the diachronic habits that they adopt over time on a continuous base. Okay. So, when I think about synchronic and diachronic habits, and I look at it and I say to myself, okay, a person will have to be able to assess, acknowledge, and accept certain stimuli, also known as stimulus, received as a sign in the form of a message and not in the form of a signal for reaction. So basically what I'm trying to say is that instead of a person reacting off of something that may be triggering a habit or habitual behavior, why not stop, pause, assess what's happening, what's going on, and assess the fact whether this is going to hurt or harm you, help hurt or harm you in any kind of way, thinking of the consequences beforehand and before reacting, but taking the time to actually respond to the triggers, whether it be physically, emotionally, or mentally, whatever those triggers are that's gonna cause that habit to come to fruition, you have to think first. Think of the consequences first. Assess it. Is it gonna hurt, harm, or help me, you know, in the end? For example, going back to a person who is in a hungry state. They smell food, you know, and I just went through the whole process of that. Instead of a person reacting and saying, you know, I want to eat and just resort to eating junk food, stop, assess the situation, acknowledge that you are hungry, but know that, okay, in your assessment of you knowing that you are hungry and acknowledging that you're hungry, that you're going to accept the fact that, you know what, instead of you reacting, you're going to respond in a way where you're going to take the time to actually get food that is going to be healthy and not just satisfy a hunger, if that makes sense. So just using that metaphorically as an example with how you associate certain things in life, how you perceive certain things in life, just stop, assess, acknowledge, and accept the fact that, okay, I'm going to do what's going to either help me. If you choose what, if it's going to help you, hurt you, or harm you, you choose that. You choose that as an acceptance, okay? But as long as you can assess and acknowledge it, that's what's most important. And I feel like this is what will cause people to be able to put their habits into alignment as they acknowledge their good and bad habits and start good adopting new habits and then stopping bad habits that are not conducive to their growth. Okay, so I feel like when you do take that moment to assess, acknowledge, and accept whether this, you know, reaction out of habit is going to hurt or harm you or help you, you know, it requires an ability of self-discipline and continuity of good habits that you willfully choose to generate over time. Okay, it's not so much of what bad habit have benefited you all along. It's all about what's conducive to your growth in the future, not for the moment, but for the future. Because just know that even though for that moment, you know, it may be beneficial to you, it may be good, but in the end, it's going to deteriorate your health over time, especially if it involves smoking, right? Right. So, moving along, in my opinion, I think that it is minuscule for a person to be comfortable and complacent with a habitual behavior that does not warrant growth. But over and over again in life, they see the stagnation and blockages that their complacency or comfortability of a habitual behavior has caused in life. So 9 times out of 10, it could be a bad, you know, habit that a person has, or just based off of their perception of how they perceive things in life, you know, being negative, being toxic, those things. But these people might feel that it's beneficial to them for toxic reasons, because it gives them a certain high, it gives them a certain boost, but it's not conducive to their growth in life, you know. So a lot of times, 9 out of 10, misery loves company, right? So if a miserable person gets off on making another person miserable, you know, it may be something that's monetary for the moment that brings a certain type of high, you know, toxic high for the person, but then it goes all the way down, because at the end of the day, they're not growing from that. They're not growing from making someone else miserable or unhappy or whatever the case might be. They're not even happy with themselves or their own life. So it's like, it's a minuscule way of thinking and way of life for a person to be that way, especially people who talk about other people for no rhyme or reason, you know, and get off on, you know, belittling people, making other people look bad, you know, talking bad about the person, you know, spreading rumors about the person. Those things are minuscule, and certain people love that type of energy, gossip, backbiting, you know, betrayal. They love all of those things. They get off on toxicity. And I feel like those types of people are part of a destructive pattern in life. You know, whether they self-destruct, you know, by default, but they want to get other people to self-destruct with them at the same time. But hey, birds of a feather flock together, right? But not to get off tangents, but I feel that it's minuscule for people to be just comfortable with that and complacent with that type of life, especially if they are judgmental, including, yes, you know, and don't really, you know, think things through, not really wise in their decisions and things of that sort. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. And to be conditioned to think a certain way is to be shaped and molded in the image of someone else's imagination or program in life. And the only reason why I say that is because when you think about religion, it is a doctrine. Yes, it's a doctrine, right? It's a way of life that people choose to, you know, live, to go off of, you know, for their spiritual journey and, you know, ascension in life. You know, these are certain people's beliefs, you know, they're being indoctrinated and, you know, things of that sort. But do believe and acknowledge that that came off of someone else's imagination, someone else's thought process. And it's like when you think about you as a person, what is your purpose? What is your goals in life? You know, what is your actual divine journey? I won't say spiritual journey, but what is your divine journey in life? What is your purpose in life, opposed to following, you know, a doctrine or a religion and things of that sort? What are you here for, to make a difference in this world? Okay, because it's either you are helping, you know, the mass of people, or you are hurting the mass of people by what you are contributing to this earth. Okay, especially if you are a person with selfish deeds, selfish motives, mindset, manipulative, and things of that sort. You are a part of the mass who are hurting the mass of people and not helping them. So you're not really living out your purpose. You're just surviving through life, you know, dying to live a life that you cannot, you know, manage, but you're trying to achieve it at all costs, even if you are backbiting, betraying other people to get to where you need to get to in life, which is not cool. That's not living out your purpose in life. And it doesn't feel good at the end of the day when you're all the way at the top, knowing that you don't have a strong foundation and you're going to fall all the way down to the bottom. Yes, I said bottom. Okay. So it's good to be a good person. It's good to create good karma for yourself throughout life, and know that it's not just about people's selfish motive, what you want in life. Understand that sometimes it's good to see how your goals mesh and merge with another person's goals, so y'all both could win at the same time and not just have a crab in a barrel mentality, if you understand what I mean. Okay, so this is about a person, you know, way of life, what they choose to live. You living out your purpose, not just following a religion, you know, because some people use religion as a cloak for their manipulation or how they want to get through and navigate through life. And that's not good or kosher as far as having a spiritual journey or divine encounter in life, because people want to use it as a facade. It's not living out your journey. And people that do that, they could lie to themselves and lie to other people, but you can't lie to the Most High as far as who and what you are. Okay? And that's just my opinion. Now, moving along to be comprised of one's own way of thinking is to be open to constant error and correction in life as you journey throughout your purpose in life, whether it be to destroy and destruct once again, or to create and structure a way of life conducive to a collective of people way of life and not just someone's individual life. Okay, too many people get caught up on, oh, as long as I live the American dream, have a family, have a house, have all of these good things, and, you know, I'm good, you know, everything is set. No, that's a minuscule way of thinking. What about a collective of people like you who want to win? Not just your individual self, your individual philosophy and what you want to do. What about people that have the same like mind, drive and action to do what you want, what you're doing, to add to what you're doing, and not have this mindset of, oh, it's just me and my family and that's it? That's being so selfish. Okay, and creating a bubble to where, you know, anybody could pop your bubble and you realize that, okay, damn, I thought I had it all. I thought I was living the American dream. And you realize you're not living no American dream. And the American dream is, you know, so cliche, you know. So, yeah, that's just my opinion. But going down to or reevaluating the title for tonight, the topic on what are synchronic and diachronic habits, I really feel like it was an eye-opener for me. It made me realize, you know, the difference between, you know, the formation of a habit and how to start and stop certain habits, you know. And like I said, I had to acknowledge first that sometimes, you know, it could be toxic to do things in a backwards way of form of matter. You know, sometimes in doing things in a backwards matter or order may be conducive to some people, but at the same time, it's not conducive to other people because it can be a setback. Because if you don't go through the process of something step by step, you know, it can hurt you somewhere along the way, and it causes you to not have a strong foundation in life. You know, and I've learned that, you know, even in my ability to do things in a backwards way of thinking or whatever the case might be, that sometimes my foundations weren't always strong because I didn't start from the beginning, you know, doing things step by step. So that was a habitual behavior that I had to stop and start to do things in a step by step manner and progress and know that, okay, I may not have to know the outcome or be so eager to do the outcome, but to actually go through the experience of knowing and doing and arriving at a result in the end. It's okay to do that and not to compare myself to anyone else. You know, so my whole thing is this, that a journey, you have to take the step-by-step process. You can't skip, you can't go ahead, you can't do none of those things because it's not going to be conducive towards your growth or, you know, productivity in life. Okay, and that's just my opinion once again, you know. So, you know, doing things in a forward manner, and, you know, it may take time for me to do that. And it's okay if it might take you time to do things in a certain manner, a certain order, especially if a person is dealing with dyslexia, you know. I would say that I don't want to just self-diagnose myself and say that I have dyslexia, but, you know, sometimes that can happen where people do things in a backwards manner, or sometimes they have trouble with reading, you know, things of that sort. But there's ways of going about it, you know, and not falling victim to your condition or whatever it is. So sometimes we got to trick our brains into doing something a certain way in order to be able to arrive at that certain result or, you know, activity in the end. So yeah, so anybody who is suffering from dyslexia, I would say don't be so hard on yourself, don't feel bad about it, but look for ways, always be eager to want to be better, to get better. And I feel like some of the people who may suffer from dyslexia are the most smartest and creative people in life, so creative and beautiful people in life. And that's just my opinion once again. Okay, so I just wanted to say that I thank you all for listening on tonight's show, and I hope that you were able to get some type of jewels from this show on tonight. And I hope that you all enjoy the rest of your night and have a wonderful night. Bye bye.
Thank you.